Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 95, The Drowned City. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me once again is my co-host and nemesis, Pete Michaud.
What's up?
Ah, geez, it's so 90s. Anyway, we are back once again to talk about what's going on in the world of Nintendo, and there is quite a bit to talk about as E3 is only 1 week away. Probably by the time you hear this, less than 1 week away.
Shocker.
So we've got plenty of games to talk about. We've got our E3 once and predictions as our big topic. But before we get to that, let us kick things off with the news. And this week in the news, we have not one, not two, but three upcoming Pokemon releases to discuss. Why are there so many? How do they fit these creatures into these little balls? Will this madness never end? So that's right, we just had a Pokemon Direct, and there was quite a bit of significant news coming out of it. Let's start with what is probably the most exciting part of it for me, and that is that we are getting follow-ups to Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon this November, still for the Nintendo 3DS, in the form of Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon. Apparently, it's an alternative storyline, but it's the same world. There are new Pokemon, and there are new features. Beyond that, they really haven't revealed any details, although they have shown some artwork of Solgaleo and Lunala, where they're the same Pokemon, but like wearing some weird sort of armor. To be honest, it's kind of cheap looking, in my opinion. It looks like someone just took the original artwork and drew armor over it.
Custom fan art or something.
Something like that. I mean, it reminds me of something that like my brother would have done in grade school.
Yikes.
But maybe I'm being a little harsh. But yeah, you know, a lot of people were expecting maybe we would get a version of Sun and Moon on Switch. That's not happening. Mm-hmm. Certainly not yet. We are instead getting these follow-ups still on the Nintendo 3DS. Pete, what's your thought on this?
I think it's cool. Pokemon Sun and Moon were maybe one of the best Pokemon games to come out in the last, I don't know.
Totally.
10, 15 years?
For me, it's probably my all-time favorite Pokemon game. So I am very happy to have more set in the same region in the same universe.
Absolutely. I think it's cool.
I mean, I still want to know a lot more about it. Is it a situation where there's a lot of the same content? Sort of like when they do the third game,
right?
If it had been a Stars version or something like that. Or is it going to be more like Pokemon Black and White 2, where it was pretty much just its own separate game?
Yeah.
But either way, it's pretty cool. You know, for people who were hoping to have it on Switch, all I can say is I don't think you would want to see a 3DS game just blown up and playing on your TV without a graphical overhaul.
Yeah.
And you know, if they were going to do a graphical overhaul, that's going to take some time.
Right.
And if they're going to make a full Pokemon game that takes advantage of HD graphics, I would much rather have it be a brand new game rather than just a port of something that I've already played before. So, you know, I will enjoy this, and then I will just wait with great anticipation for the next full-blown real Pokemon game that does come to Switch.
Yeah, I agree. There's no way they're making that in a few months. So it's it's good to, honestly, just having another 3DS title to look forward to is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. But speaking of Switch, if you know that's your bag, then there is the new enhanced version of Pokken Tournament, Pokken Tournament Deluxe. It's coming out in September on Switch. It has the original 16 characters plus 5 new ones: Darkrai, Scizor, Empoleon, Croagunk, and Decidueye.
Darkrai, that's my favorite type of beer.
Oh, that's my favorite type of bread. Interesting. So, yeah, there are going to also be new 3v3 matches, online ranked matches, and online group matches. Other than that, it's very similar to what we got on the Wii U. But, you know, I didn't actually buy the Wii U version, so this would probably be a welcome addition to my Switch lineup. Pete, what about you?
Yeah, I actually never played the original either, and I actually haven't even touched it, which I kind of feel bad about.
It's definitely worth checking out.
That being said, it looks amazing. On Switch, I might actually pick it up without even having played it, so yeah, I think it's a good
move.
It's
definitely a decent game. It's a little weird. Some of the systems are not super intuitive, but it's definitely good fun. When I was putting together our list of best Wii U games, our top 15 list, Pokken Tournament did not quite make that list, but that doesn't mean I didn't like the game.
Right.
And I like having the game available with extra content. That's definitely cool.
Yep.
And if they're smart, what would be really ingenious on their part is if they just kept pumping out DLC for this game and just kept adding new characters. They could like just keep adding new characters for the next 5 years, and they would make a zillion dollars.
Yeah. And they might not even release them all, so there's a lot of Pokemon characters.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if they wanted to, they could make bank with this. I am a little bummed that Incineroar is not one of the new characters. I mean, I know the Decidueye, I think, is a little more popular, but Incineroar, because, I mean, he is a wrestler. He is basically a pro wrestler. He even has a championship belt on. Seems like it would have been perfect for a Pokemon fighting game.
So yeah.
I feel like they kind of missed the boat there, but maybe he's a hidden character. Maybe he'll be DLC. Maybe he'll be in there in one way or another.
Hopefully.
That'd be cool.
Maybe the judging cat from Splatoon will be in there too.
Probably not, but I'll keep that in mind.
Thanks.
The other bit of Pokemon news is that the classic Pokemon titles, Pokemon Gold and Pokemon Silver, will be coming to 3DS Virtual Console on September 22nd, which is the same day, of course, that Pokken Tournament Deluxe is coming out on Switch. I mean, I totally thought that Virtual Console on 3DS was Des a doornail.
Mm-hmm.
So, A, I'm glad to see that it's not, and B, I'm glad to see that, you know, these all-time great Pokemon games are coming back so people can play them again. Those were the first Pokemon games I really, really got into. So for me, it has a lot of sentimental value.
Yeah, I think it's cool. I think it also goes to show you that if a game sells enough, there may be crazy stuff that goes on afterwards. For example, I think Red and Blue, I don't know what the total number of downloads was, but I know it was through the roof.
Yeah, I'm sure it was pretty darn big.
So Gold and Silver kind of seems like a no-brainer when you think about it now. I have a special place in my heart for those games. I actually tested them when they were in back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited to have them available again.
Yeah, pretty cool. Those are coming on the way. Another big bit of Nintendo news that came out in the past week was that Nintendo revealed some more details on what they are now calling Nintendo Switch Online. First, they have stated that this is now coming in 2018, next year. Originally, this was supposed to be happening later this year, but no, it's not happening until next year. Until then, playing online is free, and as we already knew, there's going to be an app that provides an online lobby and voice chat, and it'll let you set play appointments, and a limited version of this app is coming this year, though, presumably so people can actually set up matches for ARMS and Splatoon 2. And then, on top of that, we have found out there's going to be what they are currently calling Classic Game Selection. Before, Nintendo had said that there was going to be, like, monthly classic games with some sort of online enhancements, but that no longer seems to be the case. Instead of monthly classic games, it looks like this is going to be sort of a Netflix-style back catalog that you'll have access to if you pay to use the Nintendo Switch Online service, which, by the way, will be $4 for a month, $8 for 3 months, or $20 for 1 year, which is not a bad deal. It's definitely disappointing this is coming later rather than sooner, and I kind of wonder, you know, what's taking them so long? It seems like they would have had a long, long time to figure this out. What's going on? They shouldn't be surprised that they're having an online service for Switch. This isn't new. And I'm still not convinced that a smartphone app is the best way to manage the online experience. The fact that you need a separate device, a separate smartphone, by a separate manufacturer just seems so strange to me. I mean, I remember it wasn't that long ago where Nintendo didn't want anything to do with smart devices. And I was like, well, now you need one to play Switch games online in any decent way. So
yep.
It's just weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to wait and see.
Well, so will I.
I'm kind of curious to see what exactly happens with this app. In a way, it could be better than they do within the console itself. Have you downloaded their parental control app at all?
I have.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually impressed with the UI in it. It feels complete and solid. I have high hopes that their online plans will follow suit.
Well, I mean, I'll certainly also wait and see, and maybe it'll be amazing, but it just seems kind of clunky to have an entire extra device. I mean, I can already call someone up and chat with them while I'm playing an online game. I don't need an app for that. For a group chat, I suppose I would, but it just seems weird. But I mean, the whole thing just, it feels like, you know, this online thing is not new. You've had years to prepare for this, and somehow it's less extensive than what you have for Wii U. So
yep.
It just feels strange. And I also wonder where this leaves Virtual Console.
Mm-hmm.
As long as they still have Virtual Console coming as a separate thing, that will be great. But if this is going to replace Virtual Console, if all they're going to have is this Netflix-style service, it kind of makes me wonder what's the incentive for Nintendo or other companies to add new games. Like, you know, they aren't going to get any extra money for adding extra games. Why would Capcom, say, put Mega Man on here? Because they're not going to get any additional money from it, because, you know, people are still going to only be paying their $4 a month, whether Mega Man's on there or not. You know, all that stuff just makes me wonder how that's going to pan out. If it's two different options, that's great. If it's the only option out there for getting classic games, I am going to worry. Hopefully it's like PlayStation Plus, where you get your free stuff, or if you don't have, you know, PlayStation Plus, then you can buy the games also. So if it's like that, thumbs up, excellent, great. So we'll just have to wait and see how it all pans out.
Yeah, I think the part that's most intriguing to me is the fact that they mentioned that there's going to be online capabilities added to some of the older games.
That is pretty cool, yeah.
So I'm curious to see how that works.
Yeah, me too.
I'm really hoping for Mega Man Soccer to have some online functionality in it.
Well, if we get Mega Man Soccer at all, I'll be pretty excited. All we know for now is we're getting Balloon Fight and Dr. Mario. And in those cases, it would be obvious as to what the online functionality would be, just a typical online versus. And then there's also Super Mario Brothers 3, where it's not quite as obvious. I mean, it did have the competitive, you know, Mario Brothers mode in it, and it does have a regular alternating two-player. That doesn't really lend itself to online so much. So maybe it'll be just like online leaderboards or something like that. But it'll be interesting to see.
Yep.
And then in one other little bit of Nintendo news, Nintendo has announced that there will be a Splatoon 2-themed Pro Controller coming out alongside the game when it hits on July 21st. It's basically the same Pro Controller that's already out, but with green and pink grips, and then with black splat effects on the center of the controller. Pete, do you like this controller? Do you want to get one of these? What are your thoughts?
I think it's cool. I do think Nintendo's really milking the peripheral market on the Switch.
Well, they are. They love to do that, though.
But honestly, if you're a huge fan of Splatoon, that's cool. Probably not for me, but I like the way it looks, and I think it'll find a lot of fans.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it looks great. I've already got a regular Pro Controller, so I don't think I'm actually going to buy one, but I think it looks awesome, and I'm really happy to see they're bringing something like this out. I was crossing my fingers they would, and very happy that it's coming true.
Yeah, I think it probably paves the way for a lot of other special controllers, too, so I'm excited.
Oh, yes. Almost certainly more Pro Controllers and lots of different colored Joy-Cons as well. Coming down the pipeline, I'll bet. Moving over to some third-party news, we found out not too long ago that Shantae Half-Genie Hero was making its way to Switch, and guess what? It is actually coming out this week. It will be out in the eShop on June 8th.
Pretty cool.
It is. And even better, I was able to get a chance to play this game already. And unsurprisingly, it is fantastic.
Yeah, it looks great.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, it's pretty much identical to the Wii U version. I played that game. It was one of my favorite games to come out last year. It's probably one of my favorite games on the system. And this is every bit as good. Just the same sort of fun platforming, adventuring, transformations, going back to previous levels and exploring them using your new powers. Fantastic 2D graphics, really good music, very well polished. The new feature added in the Switch version, of course, is the inclusion of HD Rumble. And to be honest, I haven't really noticed it that much. Certainly, I can tell there's a change. Like, I remember when you would beat a boss in the Wii U version and your gamepad would just shake like the whole thing was going to explode. It's like it was having a seizure or something. And it's a lot more subtle now. It's a lot more subtle in alt implementations, but nothing about it really screams HD Rumble to me. Like, you know, when the HD Rumble is used in games like 1-2 Switch, it's like, oh, this is really mind-blowingly impressive. And this isn't anything like that. It's still a good implementation of a Rumble feature, but it's nothing that's going to, you know, blow you away or anything like that.
Do you know how much this retails for?
I believe it's $20, and in my opinion, worth every penny. I've only had the chance to play through the first two levels so far of the Switch version of the game, but just like with the Wii U version, I am absolutely loving it. If you pass it up on Wii U, do not pass it up on Switch. Don't hesitate. Go out there, grab it, buy it, play it, love it. It is excellent. I really can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah, I'm excited to play it.
Had you played this on other consoles before?
I haven't. I have played a Shantae game before, and I like the concept, and I really like the developer. They seem to do a good job with the character, and it's a cool platformer. The screenshots look epic.
Yep, they sure do.
So I'm excited to play it.
Well, you should. You should definitely check it out.
For $20, it's a no-brainer, I think.
Don't forget, though, there actually is a physical version coming out down the line. I think it's probably going to be $30. It is going to be published by Xseed once again, who also did the physical Wii U version. That's supposed to be coming out sometime later this summer. They haven't given out a release date yet. But if you want to get that version instead, you might want to hold out and not pick it up this week. I'm sure it'll be worth the wait.
Does it make you want to get physical?
Well, I will be picking up the physical version, but I don't think I'll be singing about it. Sorry.
Well, that's too bad. You have a lovely singing voice.
Well, I thank you. Believe it or not, that is not the only recent release I've been playing, and I haven't just been playing Switch. I actually have been playing a game on the Wii U.
What?
Yes, that's right. I also acquired Darksiders Warmastered Edition.
What?
Yes. And I'm not really that familiar with the Darksiders series. I think I played a little bit of Darksiders 2 right when it came out, which was actually a launch title for Wii U. And here we are, you know, nearly 5 years later, the Wii U is pretty much dead, and here is the original Darksiders game. And at first, I thought it was surprisingly enjoyable. It's like a combination of God of War and The Legend of Zelda, but set in a post-apocalyptic Earth where heaven is fighting hell, and what that adds up to is like a combination of combat, exploration, puzzle solving, and platforming, complemented by cinematic kills and full-on Zelda-style dungeons. There's lots of weapons, there are tools to find, there are upgrades to buy and acquire. The frame rate for this game is pretty smooth, the graphics are quite good, and I really was impressed by the sound. It has these great, haunting, ambient sound effects, just, you know, screeching metal and crows, and they would send chills up my spine when I was playing the game. And occasionally I would just leave the game on pause around the title screen. I'd go do something else in my apartment. I would hear these awful noises coming from the other room. Like, and I would kind of forget that I had on the TV. I'm like, oh man, what the heck is going on? It sounds like, you know, all hell is breaking loose in there. I'm like, oh, it's just the game. Okay. All right. Nothing crazy is going on in here. But yeah, the sound's really impressive. And the game is only $20.
Kind of makes you wonder why it didn't come out for the Switch, huh?
You know, that's a good question. I don't really have an answer to that. However, I will tell you that it is not all good stuff when it comes to Darksiders Warmaster Edition. It actually has a few problems. Yeah, I really liked it at first, and there are lots of things about the game that I was really enjoying, but it's glitchy. It has problems. When I got to the first major dungeon, the game totally wigged out on me a couple times where I would defeat this one particular enemy and then I would kept falling through the floor. And, I mean, I know I'm supposed to be visiting the underworld, but I don't think that's quite what the game had in mind, where I was just falling through blackness for, you know, 5 minutes until I decided to reset the game.
Not that underworld, right?
Yeah, exactly. And after like 3 times, it glitched on me 3 times. And then on the 4th time, I did stuff in a little bit different sequence, and I was able to get past. I'm like, okay, all right, hopefully that's the only bad spot. But then I got to the boss of this dungeon, and I had more glitches. Like, one time I got hit, and I was just, like, stuck in a very specific wedge of the environment, and I couldn't really move around to fight or interact or anything. And again, I just had to reset the game. And another time, I sort of ended up levitating a bit while fighting the boss. And because it has, you know, Zelda-style puzzle aspects to the fights, you have to interact with the environment. And because I was levitating, I couldn't do that. And so that caused all kinds of problems as well. I did finally beat that boss, but, I mean, it was really frustrating because, you know, the problems were not my fault. So the game is fun in a lot of ways. It's very ambitious, but the bugs really drag it down, and because of that, I can't really give it a recommendation, despite all its good points. It's just too glitchy for me to recommend, unfortunately.
That might be why it's only $20 and maybe the last game for Wii U.
It could be. It could be. To be honest, I'm not sure how it got past Nintendo lot check with bugs like that. It was tragically frustrating.
Ha! That'll be the name of my first book.
All right. Well, I think this is a good place for us to take intermission, so let's do that. And then we come back, we will discuss our wants and predictions for E3 2017. All right, we are back and we're ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is our wants and predictions for E3 2017. As we record this, E3 is only 1 week away, and I expect it to be quite a spectacular show for Nintendo. I mean, it's so big that they're doing their Pokemon announcements a week early so they don't get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah, I noticed that too. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. They did that early. They got the Nintendo Switch Online stuff out of the way. So they've probably got all kinds of big games to talk about to keep us very, very occupied over the 3 days of the show next week. So what's going to be there? Some stuff we know about, some stuff we don't. But let's start talking about it and see what we are hoping to experience at the big show next week.
Let's do it.
There are, of course, some things we definitely know are going to be there. We know that they're finally lifting the curtains all the way on Super Mario Odyssey. That's going to be Nintendo's big major game for this holiday season. It's the next 3D Mario game that we've been waiting for years, basically since Galaxy 2 came out. It is the proper successor to titles such as Mario 64 and Super Mario Sunshine. And I am really expecting to be blown away by this title. What about you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the fact that Mario hasn't come out in so long, you know, a full-fledged Mario title, I'm excited for this one. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Sonic Adventure on Dreamcast with the whole city.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah. The real world setting and the real people, yeah.
Especially with, like, if you really take a good look at the people in the background, they're very, I don't know, they're very 1990s looking. But
really, I thought it was seeming a little older than that. I thought it was like more early 20th century. That was kind of the vibe I was getting from it.
Yeah, I was going to say they look kind of Amish, but I hope we don't have any Amish listeners. Who knows? I kid the Amish. Anyway, no, it looks great, though. You know, classic Mario Adventure. Everything I see of it, I just want to play it.
Yeah, me too. I cannot wait. And I just expect things to be redonkulous. I expect to see just really crazy, bizarre worlds. I expect to see some really innovative uses for Mario's hat. Mm-hmm. I expect we're going to get to see different and new and more kinds of hats. And I'm thinking, I just want to see what you can do exploring the city. If the city is going to be more or less a hub,
right,
and it's open world, I just want to see all the things you can do. I want to see if there's like crazy, you know, I want to see a big pile of girders that you climb up to rescue Pauline from Donkey Kong. That's what I want to see.
Totally. Honestly, I'm just happy if they announce that it's actually going to come out in 2017, which I believe it will, but it'll be nice to actually hear that confirmation.
It would. I mean, that's what they've been saying pretty much constantly, and I think they kind of need it to be their big game for the holiday season. I don't know what they're going to do if this, for some reason, got delayed.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of expecting it to happen, but yeah, I admit having that reaffirmation will be good. Of course, we also know about several other games that are in the works, and we haven't really seen much of anything about them. We know there's a new Kirby game coming out for 3DS, and that should be pretty darn cool. We have a new Fire Emblem game that they haven't shown anything on. And then there's this Fire Emblem Warriors game that we've seen almost nothing as well. And, you know, seeing any or all of those at E3 would be pretty spectacular. I mean, of those games, which one do you think you're most excited about?
I gotta say, the natural Fire Emblem for Switch, that's gotta be the most exciting to me. I'm sort of like an old school Fire Emblem guy. You know, I also love Advance Wars, so that's kind of where that comes from.
Okay.
The Warriors titles, they get a little samey to me.
They do.
So, and I'm not really a huge Kirby fan, but you know, that could be good too if we know more details about it.
I'm actually really excited to see Fire Emblem Warriors because, you know, ever since they announced it, or even before they announced it, I just thought that that concept would go really, really well in the Fire Emblem universe because there are so many great hero characters, and you are supposed to be having these massive army versus army battles.
Mm.
And, I mean, I suppose I can envision it in my head, and I kind of know what's going to be playing out, but still, I'll be really excited to actually see it and possibly get my hands on it. It just should be something that's really, really cool, and I hope it goes up to my expectations.
I think you literally just talked me into it, so we'll see.
Also, I'm very much looking forward to seeing more Xenoblade Chronicles 2. that looked really, really awesome in the footage that they showed. That's one where, you know, whereas I think Mario Odyssey is very likely to make this year, I could see Xenoblade Chronicles 2 slipping to a later time, but hopefully that's not the case. But I absolutely loved the first Xenoblade Chronicles. X, not quite as much as I was hoping for. Mm-hmm. But nonetheless, I'm still super excited for Xenoblade Chronicles 2. And I'm hoping they will have more of that at the show.
Cool.
Did you play either of those?
I am not a Xenoblade guy. Honestly, I try to stay away from 100-hour RPGs and things of that nature.
They are very long.
Yeah. Although Breath of the Wild, I think I'm up to 100 hours now. But that was unintentional and primarily because it's a handheld, so...
Okay, well, that's another thing that could possibly be shown at E3. I mean, I'm not sure if Nintendo would go and show new DLC content at E3, but it's a possibility. If they were to show the fall DLC, which they've said is going to include new scenario content, what would you like it to be?
I mean, to be perfectly fair, I think a new island or a new, like a new level to explore, a new area would be great. I can imagine. I mean, there's, I don't know, it's
I'm thinking something a little bit more ambitious myself. If I could, you know, conjure up any sort of new scenario content, I would like to have the ability to play as Zelda in her own little adventure.
Wow.
Or maybe have a scenario from the past, and in this past scenario, you know, maybe it's where you play as Link and actually, you know, play out some of those scenes that you see in flashback. Hmm. Or maybe the flashback is the Zelda stuff and you find out what she did, you know, after Link fell in battle and, you know, what she did to go back to the castle and combat Calamity Ganon and all that stuff. So that's just sort of my ultimate dream wish list thing.
That's cool.
Of what they could do for that new con. Oh, and also, I want the ability to ride a moose.
Yes, absolutely. And pet a dog, please, while we're at it.
Yes, yes, that too. I mean, you know, riding bear and deer and the Guardian of the Mountain is fine, but I really would like to ride a moose. Alongside my desire to have a pet capybara, riding a moose is up there, one of my fantasy game animal scenarios that I want to be able to live out.
I'd like to ride the ostriches too, I think, on up on Death Mountain. That'd be kind of nice.
Sure, sure. Why not? You could get some Super Mario Brothers 2 style action going on there.
You know, on a quick note, you know, my idea for a Zelda game has always been it would be great to see a game from the from Ganon's perspective.
Yep.
Same way Link always becomes the hero. It'd be nice to see why Ganon always becomes the villain.
Oh, I totally agree. And that was one of the things I loved about Hyrule Warriors, what you could finally do a Ganon scenario and get to see things a little bit from his perspective.
Oh, can you? That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's not quite as involved as it would be as with, you know, an entire Ganon game or something.
Right.
But I really do like that character, especially the Wind Waker version. I think there is a lot of potential there. So maybe we should consider that to be one of our E3 2017 wants. Out of left field, a brand new Ganon-based video game.
We'll
I wouldn't put the likelihood very high,
no.
But I'd love to see it. That'd be awesome.
Definitely.
I'm also really looking forward to seeing some new Monster Hunter stuff. We know that Monster Hunter Stories is going to be coming out on the 3DS this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that Monster Hunter XX was confirmed to be coming out on Switch by Capcom over in Japan. So I would love to actually try Monster Hunter Stories and see if it's everything I've been hoping for.
Yeah.
And it'd be really cool to actually see the game up and running on Switch if that is, you know, the real deal. I mean, I'm sure we're getting it eventually, but it would be pretty darn rad to see that at E3.
Yeah, I agree. Super cool game.
So moving on from the stuff that we know actually exists, and you know, that there's a good chance it's actually going to be there, what are some other things that you would just like to see at E3 on Nintendo systems?
I mean, I think the biggest one that that's on most people's minds is Smash Brothers Switch.
Really? You know, I was wondering about that one. I was, you know, I was kind of wavering back and forth as to whether or not that's a good possibility. But you totally beat me to it. So,
well, I think it's just the 400-pound gorilla in the room, right? It's the game that, you know, most people think of when they think of Nintendo consoles recently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, it's easy.
It's arguably their biggest franchise. It is sort of the killer app.
And, I mean, now when you consider that you could even add more characters with Splatoon and ARMS coming out, more than anything, it just kind of breathes life into the system. And, you know, it's a perfect game to play eight player. And, you know, the Switch, as you know, can play eight player locally. So it just seems like there would be some kind of thing there.
So are you thinking this is just going to be sort of an upgraded port of Super Smash Brothers for Wii U and 3DS? This would just be for Switch, and would you be using that as the basis? Or are you thinking, oh, maybe Nintendo will unveil a brand new Smash game?
I actually think it's more of the former. I think that, you know, given the amount of time that's been passed since the Switch has launched, and then kind of what they did with Mario Kart, where you almost get like a Super Smash Brothers Deluxe version, where it's got all the DLC, it's got all the bells and whistles, and maybe there's even some new...
Yeah, all the modes from both 3DS and Wii U, all the backgrounds from 3DS and Wii U.
Yep.
Yeah, maybe some... I could see that's a possibility.
Maybe some target attacks that are specific to each character.
You know, bring back all the missing characters, bring back the ice climbers, and, you know, I would say Solid Snake, but... you know, bring back Wolf.
Right, right.
You know, maybe throw in some brand new characters. But I don't know. I mean, at this point, I'm kind of tired of getting the same games that we got on the Wii U. Obviously, Zelda's available on both. Mario Kart's available on both. Yeah. We got Pokken Tournament. We've got lots of cool indie games that you know, are on both. I really want something, you know, new and exciting. And I would be happier if they just were to tease a brand new Smash game and they'd be like, well, it ain't coming out for 2 or 3 years, but hey, we're working on it. And that would be totally fine with me, and it would probably be my preference. Because, I mean, you know, they've never released more than one Smash Brothers game on a piece of hardware.
Yeah.
And so, if we're only getting one on Switch, I certainly think it should be a brand new, complete game that, you know, stands above and beyond anything we'd ever seen with Smash Brothers before. Because I think that's what it could be.
Yeah, if it is a new title, I actually worry about Mr. Sakurai's health, because...
well, hopefully he's got some assistants who could help out with that. Yeah, we don't want him to keel over or anything.
No. But yeah, I mean, I agree with you. A new one, obviously, a tease would be massive. I think that in all likelihood, doing a port of this one makes sense. I agree with you. I don't think that they should continue doing that. This would definitely be the last one that I'd want to see from the Wii U era ported over to Switch. But I definitely think it can make an impact sales-wise. And yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I see them, you know, doing these Wii U ports as a way to pad out the lineup in the early goings. So it kind of made sense for Kart. It might make sense if they do a Smash Brothers that were to come out sometime between now and, you know, early next year, like within the first year of the Switch's life cycle. Mm-hmm. But beyond that, no, there should not be anything like that. We should be looking forward to brand new experiences, new Smash, and, you know, hopefully a Mario Kart 9 and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, totally agree.
I'm very much on the fence as to, you know, whether I even, you know, want this there or, you know, predicting it's there. But yes, it's always, every year, people are like, new Smash, more Smash. So, yeah, it kind of is the elf in the room, as you said.
Yeah.
For me, though, my biggest want is not Smash Brothers, but a new Metroid. And I feel like that's another one that every year people are like, okay, this is the year. We're finally getting our Metroid comeback. But, you know, I don't want to say I'm predicting it because I hate making predictions, but I really want this to be the time where, like, okay, this is what Retro Studios has been doing. Here's a Metroid Prime 4.
Right.
And while we're at it, oh, we also did a new Metroid game for 3DS. There's two of them on the way, you know, just like they did with the Metroid Prime 1 and Metroid Zero Mission releasing on the same day. You know, maybe they'll do something like that where we've got our classic 2D Metroid and our 3D first-person Metroid, and then everyone will be happy and in love with Samus all over again.
Man, that would literally bring tears to my eyes.
It'll bring tears to my eyes when it doesn't happen.
No, it is interesting. I think that Retro Studios has been oddly quiet for a while. I mean, when you think about what they've worked on, it's only been Metroid Prime series and the latest, you know, Donkey Kong titles.
Right.
So it makes you wonder, what are they working on? And they did so well with the Prime series. The Prime series really, especially, you know, the first one, and they were all fairly good.
They also
good.
Put the series back on the map, really.
And they did. And when you consider what happened with Other M, you kind of think, well, maybe a trip back to the Prime world wouldn't be mm-hmm. the worst thing in the world.
No, I totally agree.
So I'm just curious, more than anything, if they do go that direction, where do they choose the timeline to be? You know, is it post-fusion? Because that's kind of a crazy storyline. And then, or is it like a sort of a prequel, like before even the original? So, I don't know. I'd be interested to see.
Yeah, it would certainly be an interesting puzzle to find out. And I welcome, you know, finding it out one way or another. As long as they've got a game, they can do, you know, pretty much whatever they want with the story, as long as she ain't whining about the baby.
Yeah, and you know what actually the biggest thing? Yeah, exactly. Sorry. You know what I think is actually one of the most unique angles to that, too? When the original Metroid Prime came out, right, you know, obviously there was no, like, online service for that. So just being able to have possibly a multiplayer mode that you could play on the Switch could be a huge selling point if they wanted to go that route.
I suppose so. But I'd rather see them, you know, focus on great single-player content, because that's always what Metroid has been about. You know, multiplayer has always kind of been kind of iffy, so as long as they focus on the good stuff, if they want to have multiplayer, that's fine, but just give me a great single-player experience. That's what I want.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I just think that Retro Studios could handle doing, like, a full-fledged multiplayer game that, you know, if you look at how well Halo did or something like that, it'd be interesting to see them go the same route.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they could pull it off, but
they just never really had the opportunity. All the Nintendo platforms have kind of either depended on split screen or not really had a great online service, so it'd be nice to see them get the chance.
Okay, I guess I won't push the issue and say if they want to do that, I would certainly welcome it.
Cool.
But speaking of online interactions and having lots of players get together in online space, I am more than ready for a brand new original Animal Crossing game.
Yeah, me too.
We did not get one on Wii U, but, you know, how can they not have one, you know, waiting in the wings on Switch? It's console, it's handheld, it's going to have, you know, hopefully a great online service and community so you can do all that town visiting and interacting and all that stuff. And I think it is definitely time. So I would love to see a brand new Animal Crossing as well.
That would be cool. And when you, I don't know, did you ever try the Animal Crossing app on the Wii U?
No, I didn't, as a matter of fact.
It just, I mean, it wasn't really much more than a screensaver, but it just being able to see all the characters in HD and kind of, you know, interact with them was actually really cool. And you could almost see the fact that, you know, they've got the assets already. Maybe they'll just take that and somehow make a new version.
Yeah, I mean, if they can use that to get a jumpstart on it, that would be great. I don't really have an idea of what they could bring new to the series to you know, kick it up to the next level. But, you know, that's why I'm not in charge of making the games. Hopefully Nintendo can think of something to make it new and innovative and fresh. But, yeah, I'm definitely ready for that.
What I would actually like to see, you know, you just kind of spurred my imagination, just being able to have sort of a like an actual online community wherein you don't have to travel to somebody else's town. You could share a town with people. That would be pretty cool if they could pull something like that off. Now, I probably wouldn't invite you into my town, just saying. You know, I've seen you with an axe before, but
you don't have to worry about the axe. You have to worry about fire. I would burn the whole place to the ground.
Wow. That escalated quickly.
Well, sorry. Just being honest. You got any other predictions?
Yeah. This is pretty minor, but I would love to hear any update on the status of, you know, Netflix or Hulu or any of these other, you know, potential online, you know, streaming apps for the console. Because mainly, I would love to be able to use it. I just went to Hawaii and I had about 12 hours of flying both ways. And just having the ability to, like, watch Netflix would be great. Especially, you know, that now they're offering a service where you can actually download in advance so you can watch some of your shows while you're on the go. Pretty cool opportunity.
Well, I'm not going to say that you're wrong, but I do feel like E3 is not the place to do that. I think this is the kind of announcement they would maybe be doing this week. If they had said something about that alongside the Nintendo Switch online plans or something, I think that would be great. But I think if they put this as the middle of their E3 Direct, it's just going to be like, unleashing my inner Snorlax, as I like to say, and just putting me to sleep. I don't think that's the way to do it.
Oh, fine.
But I do think that that is something that I'd like to see them work on.
Spoken like a true nemesis. Well, how about this? What if it was actually just part of a dashboard update and just like some sort of update on the timing of that? I think it's really odd that they haven't said anything about that. When is a new dashboard coming? Well, you know, when is there going to be extra like features and apps? I think that's something that they should really announce soon.
Maybe. I mean, again, I don't feel like that's an E3 thing, but if they do come out next week and say something about that during the presentation, and then they say, and guess what, it's available right now.
Yeah,
that is the only way that I could see that working out as part of their E3 Direct. That would be cool, because they're like, all right, awesome.
Yeah, that might actually make you take your pants off and run around.
Well, my pants are usually off anyway. But other than that, I don't think that sort of thing belongs in an E3 presentation. I think they should stay focused on the games.
All right.
And another game I would kind of like to see them do is something in the rhythm genre. I'm not going to say, oh, do another Elite Beat Agents, because I know that's crazy. That's not going to happen.
Well, I've heard you say that myself like 10 times already. So,
but I do think that that's a genre that Nintendo should try exploring again. Is it a brand new IP? Is it another Donkey Konga or something? Maybe they could do a really cool Donkey Konga with like shaking the Joy-Cons.
Yeah.
That could be awesome. I mean, don't smash them into anything too hard or nothing. keep those wrist straps on.
Maybe.
But now that I'm thinking about it, that would actually be really, really cool to have a brand new Donkey Konga game or Jungle Beat.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Either one of those would be pretty darn cool.
You know, it's funny. Just the idea of being able to, with the Joy-Cons, you could actually slide on, like, let's say, a pair of maracas.
Uh-huh.
So then all of a sudden your Joy-Cons kind of become these little rhythmic shakers. It'd be kind of cool to try something like that as well. Maybe Sega's
all right, give us a new Samba de Amiga. Yeah, totally.
Seems like a no-brainer.
Another thing I would like to see showing up at this year's E3 is that rumored Super NES Classic.
Hmm.
That rumor was floating around a couple of months back, and I would love to see it come to fruition and actually be unveiled during E3. You know, the NES Classic, the way that was unveiled, you know, it was kind of very quiet. It was not at E3. It was sort of out of nowhere. I think this time they should unveil it at the show and actually make, like, a huge deal of this thing. Blow it out of the water, really impress us, and really prove that they have learned from their mistakes with the NES Classic and be like, yes, we are doing this and we're going to do it right. So I'm kind of crossing my fingers for that.
Yeah, that would be great. The thing that would blow my mind away is if they would announce something by Rockstar. And whether that's an old late port of Grand Theft Auto 5, which wouldn't be the best thing in the world, but honestly, I would take it.
Mm-hmm.
If they came out and somehow said
Red Dead Redemption 2
was coming out for Switch, that would be a jaw-dropper for sure.
Yeah, that would be pretty awesome. I mean, it seems that Rockstar kind of has its hate on for Nintendo, so this would definitely be a jaw-dropping moment for many reasons, but I admit it would be awesome.
There was a like random rumor circulating a few months ago that they were working on like a port of L.A. Noire for Switch, which just seems
weird.
Super weird.
Yeah, that would be kind of a mistake in my opinion.
You know, the thing about the Switch is that I have a feeling that people are playing it and developers are playing it, and I bet you a lot of them, you know, are playing it and thinking, well, it'd be really awesome if we made a portable version of our game, even if we had to cut some things out, but just being able to like get it on this hardware and be able to like play it anywhere, you know, when my family takes over my television, it'd be nice to have that option. So hopefully they're listening.
Yeah, you're not wrong about that. Now, my third party E3 hopes are I think not quite as extravagant.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind of hoping that maybe Atlus will reveal that they are going to bring that 3DS port of Radiant Historia out in North America. I would really, really love to see that. I'm hoping that Square Enix will come to its senses and be like, oh yeah, we're totally going to bring out the Secret of Mana collection here in North America so everyone doesn't have to go import it. Cross my fingers for that. Not holding my breath, but crossing my fingers. And then you know, going a little bit more out there, you know, maybe we'll see something new with Mega Man. I mean, Capcom just announced its Legacy Collection 2 and Nintendo systems were not included, but maybe there'll be like the Mega Man Legacy Collection that'll have, you know, all 10 games in it, along with Mega Man and Bass or something like that. Or maybe they will somehow show this brand new Mega Man game that's supposedly based on that new cartoon that's coming out in the not too distant future, which hopefully won't be terrible.
Yeah, speaking of, I think the Castlevania Netflix title that's coming out could have a game to support that. That'd be pretty interesting too.
Oh, that's Konami, though. I have no faith in them. I have way more faith that Capcom would do something. But come on, Capcom. Nintendo is keeping Mega Man alive with Smash Brothers. The least you can do is bring some sort of Mega Man love to the Switch. Come on.
Maybe,
do it.
Maybe they'll bring Mighty No. 9.
That's not Capcom. And that game can go burn in the pits of hell for all I care.
I've got one other third-party title that I would love to hear announced at E3.
Oh, what's that?
And that would be Rocket League.
Oh.
That title in particular...
I can see that happening.
Yeah, that title in particular has been very clamored for.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it would lend itself super well because you could play it offline in the same room. I just think that that game has me excited to play on Switch just for the sheer accessibility.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really a game that seems up my alley, but I know a lot of people love it, and I know all the excitement and fervor surrounding it, so I, too, would love to hear that announced at E3. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would also love to see new Amiibo announced.
Amiibo!
And, you know, I think that's almost a no-brainer. I'm sure we're going to see something in terms of new Amiibo. The question is what? So I'm kind of hoping or predicting that we're going to get some Super Mario Odyssey Amiibo. I think that seems, mm-hmm. you know, like perhaps the most obvious thing they could do.
Yep.
I could see more Fire Emblem Amiibo, perhaps for either Fire Emblem Warriors or for the new game on Switch.
Mm-hmm.
And I would really like to see some additional Amiibo coming out for Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
I think if they made Amiibo of, you know, sort of the new... No, they're not champions, but they're the guys that help you out
right.
as you're going to fight the divine beast.
Oh, yeah, that would be
so
great.
So, you know, the princess, Riju, or Sidon. If they made one of Sidon, they would sell a million of them because, you know, everybody loves Sidon and wants to have his babies. So
I literally just posed like him.
Well, you'll have to post a picture of that online, please. Or if they don't want to go that route, what if they did Amiibo of the divine beasts? I think that would be really, really cool. Those would look great. Sell them in a 4-pack or something. That would be awesome.
I think they should make one with like a foot wide base, so it's actually just this giant statue. Do you think that could work?
If they made it be Hyrule Castle surrounded by Calamity Ganon, then yes, I would totally buy that.
Amazing.
That would be rad.
So do they have a name for people that just collect mad amounts of Amiibos, like Amiiboholics, or there's got to be some clever name?
Mostly it's just Hoff. Anything else, or are we done here?
In case anyone listened to the very end, I want to make sure that, you know, we threw in some hot takes. What's E3 without making some bold predictions?
Okay.
So I've got one that I don't think is super far off from being a reality, but you tell me what you think.
Okay.
So you might have watched some of the making of Breath of the Wild, and you might have seen that they built basically a Legend of Zelda maker to make some of the levels from Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, the 2D style artwork based on the original Zelda, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that they would make a Legend of Zelda maker and have it release on Switch. You can see from just looking at it that it kind of has the same engine as the Super Mario Maker. And to me, that would be awesome, especially if you could play other people's levels, other people's designs. I think being able to kind of go in and like make your own Zelda areas would be pretty epic. So
I suppose I could see that happening, but if I have to predict one or the other, I would say a no on that one.
How dare you?
Sorry.
Should we have a wager on the Zelda Maker, like on our predictions? Like maybe I shave my beard?
You can shave whatever you want.
This is a family program. I guess we'll hear what the fans have to think. If somebody tweets me and enough people tweet me that they want me to shave my beard if Zelda Maker doesn't come true, we'll see. I might be able to pull that off.
That sounds very risky to me.
We'll just see.
Anyway, I guess that wraps up this week's big topic. I think I'm kind of tapped out of ideas of what I want to see at this year's E3. Of course, I hope for lots of surprises as well. But yeah, I do think it's going to be a great show, and I'm looking forward to see how it all unfolds.
As am I.
And with that, I guess we should wrap up this week's episode. But of course, before we go, there is still time for a dramatic reading.
Yes!
And this week, it comes from the back of the box of the NES game, Hattress.
Remember Tetris? The way those cubes kept coming at you? That was tricky enough. But what if they were half a dozen different hats instead? Derbies, baseball caps, cowboy hats, wizard hats, top hats, and crowns. Well, that's the whole idea behind Hattress. The hats keep coming at you, two at a time. All you have to do is stack them up, five at a time, and poof, they're history. It sounds perfectly simple, until you get into it. Then you'll wish you had six heads instead of one. Because this is the latest game from Alexey Pajitnov, the designer of Tetris, and his partner, Vladimir Pakhilko. And anyone who could turn geometry into a contact sport is a force to be reckoned with. And this time, they really want you to use your head. If you don't, you'll look pretty strange with that pile of hats on it.
Wow. Hattress.
Yes, Hattress. I don't think I ever played Hattress. And, you know, after reading that back-of-the-box copy, I'm really not feeling inclined to either.
No, I can see you there. I can't help but think there was probably some marketing guy who was like, okay, I got this thing. The guy who made Tetris, he's making another game. Will you put your money in? Do you want to fund this side project? And I'm sure anybody who is attributed
like hats, yeah, hats. How did this happen?
You know, okay. Yeah, you know, they might have actually donated some money. I mean, who knows? I might have thought about it if somebody was like, "Hey, the guy who made Tetris is making another puzzle game, and he needs some money to get it off the ground." I would have been like, "Sure."
Yeah, put it up on Kickstarter. Yeah, he'd probably donate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they wound up with Hattress and said, "Yep, that's the way we should do it."
Something tells
all about hats.
Me there's a lot of cartridges sitting somewhere. Of Hattress, unfortunately.
I don't know. Like I said, I didn't play it. Maybe it's amazing.
You never know. Never know.
Never know.
I just know that six heads are better than one.
Mm-hmm. Double the pleasure and sextuple the fun.
Yes. What you said.
Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at powerprospod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff. And you can find Pete at Burly Red Yeti. You can email us for any reason at powerprospod@gmail.com. And if you like the podcast, it would be great if you would give us a rating on iTunes or tell your friends about us. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Pete Michaud.
It's been real.
And our long-lost child, Blanca. We will see you next time.
Aruga!